Our next speaker is Michael Bordo. He is a professor of economics and director of the Center for Monetary Financial History at Rutgers. Michael, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to talk about the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve has acted most aggressively to shield the U.S. economy from the COVID-19 pandemic. The increase in its balance sheet to over $5 trillion is unprecedented. It has crossed many lines of the sand in providing rescue support to non-financial institutions and markets. Indeed, its plan to lend directly up to $600 billion to small and medium-sized business flies in the face of all of the old tenets of monetary theory. So I'm going to argue today that a reexamination of four monumental historical upheavals is of highest value in understanding the Fed's actions. First is the pandemic of 1918-1919. It killed upwards of 50 million people across the world and 675,000 in the United States. There were two waves. The first was in the spring of 1918, which began in army camps in the Midwest. This is during World War I, remember? And then in the fall, when the troops came back, there were no cures or vaccines available. The highest mortality rate was in working-age people between ages 20 and 40. The pandemic led to a mild recession. There was a sharp drop in industrial production in the fall and then a speedy bounce back. There was no increase in unemployment. There were non-pharmaceutical interventions taken just like today at the local level. They had masks, schools and church closings, et cetera. But there were no mandated lockdowns, and the federal government had nothing to do with it. There was no monetary policy response. The much milder recession, why did they have a much milder recession than we're having? Well, first of all, different economic structure. The U.S. was less urbanized, more primary and secondary production, and less services. And the second thing is World War I. And the negative shocks to the labor force and consumption that did occur from people getting sick and people getting scared were offset by the war demands of the government. Third is that people had very different attitude towards mortality back then. Medical science was much less advanced. There were many diseases that people just got and died, no vaccines, et cetera. And you were in the middle of World War I when just millions of people were dying. So the lesson that comes out of that is that for today is that without the mandatory lockdown, we might have had a milder recession driven only by the endogenous fear response on spending and hours worked. Second episode is the Great Contraction, the Great Depression, 1929 to 33. That's the worst depression of all time. There was a 35% fall in real GDP and in prices, and unemployment peaked at 25%, which is pretty close to where we are today. It reflected a failure of the Fed both in causing the downturn in 1929 and in not preventing four serious banking panics from 1930 to 33. Milton Friedman made this point in a famous book in 1963 with Anna Schwartz. The key lessons from that event is the need for aggressive monetary policy to stabilize the economy and for an effective lender of last resort. Third event is World War II. The war was a huge existential shock, just like now. It required massive government intervention to marshal resources for the war effort. The Federal Reserve became subservient to the Treasury, financed its fiscal deficits freely, and pegged both short-term and long-term Treasury securities. There was an inflation that followed, but it was suppressed by wage price controls. After the war, the Treasury pressured the Fed to continue its accommodative monetary policy and the interest rate pegs. And what happened is once the controls, the wage price controls were removed, we had a big run-up in inflation. It increased to 15% per year from 1945 to 48. And then the Fed pushed to get its independence back to fight inflation, and it did that in 1951. The key lesson for that is that for the Fed for right now is once the pandemic emergency comes to an end, it must reduce its expansionary policy to avoid a run-up in inflation. And to allay inflationary expectations, it should clearly spell out its exit strategy. My last episode is the recent financial crisis, 2007 to 2008. And chairman of the Fed, Bernanke, was a student of the Great Depression. He followed aggressive lender of last resort policies, kind of what Friedman and Schwartz suggested should have happened in the Great Depression. And they also followed expansive monetary policies until the Fed hit the zero lower bound. That means interest rates became zero, and then they followed quantitative easing and forward guidance. These policies did work to temper the global financial crisis, but it took a long time for the Fed to realize that the crisis was primarily a solvency event and not a liquidity event. The key action that ended the crisis was the stress test of the major commercial banks. The Fed's lender of last resort policies and forward guidance only had a limited effect in speeding up the recovery from the global financial crisis. Okay, quantitative easing was hindered by paying interest on excess reserves and a poor communication strategy. So the last point I want to make is, what's the lesson for today? The Fed is using the same playbook as it did in the global financial crisis, but it's added in some new institutions and markets, corporate bonds and munis, to shield by its lender of last resort policies. This suggests that the road of credit policy has gotten even wider and the threats to the Fed's independence even greater. Moral hazard has also increased. Moreover, basing its monetary policy efforts on quantitative easing and forward a guidance, again, will continue to be of limited consequence. The Fed has rejected the use of negative rates from its toolkit, a tool which might actually be more potent, along with central bank digital currency. And so, to conclude, the lessons from history never exactly repeat themselves, but they often rhyme, and not heeding them is perilous. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. I'll come back to you in a minute.